This is the Not Safe for Work podcast, produced by World at Work and hosted by Charles Epstein, Workspans and Hashtag Evolve's NSFW columnist and co-host of Work in Progress. Now, here's Charles.
Welcome. Thanks for stopping by. Today's pod is a riff on my NSFW column, Revenge is a Dish Best Served Warmed for 30 Seconds in the Break Room Microwave. For months, a good friend would call me on a regular basis, anxious to share in vivid detail the latest unreasonable request from his new supervisor, who for purposes of this podcast, we'll call Brad. Anyway, both Brad and my friend worked for a large, not-for-profit healthcare organization, but where my friend was a licensed practitioner, a physical therapist who for 20-plus years helped me fix a number of things over the phone, including several relationship issues, which he threw in as a bonus, so he was obviously very good at what he did, while Brad was an MBA with no known background in healthcare. Brad made himself clear in the very first staff meeting, something along the lines of, I was hired to make changes. I'm going to be looking hard at the way things have been done before and what needs to be changed. I am thankful for this opportunity and I look forward to working with, and most importantly, learning from all of you, end quote. Exactly the technocratic BS you'd expect from a guy who lived and breathed spreadsheets, business school case studies, and peppered meetings with snippets of wisdom he extracted from one of the 15 business books lining his bookshelves, but still, ugh. With every anecdote my friend shared, the picture got sharper and more insidious. Brad was a toxic combination of sinister competence and misplaced confidence. Misplaced insofar as perfectly matched by his level of cluelessness. Every time my friend related another new outrage or sign of disrespect, I'd get more pissed and more animated. But always, always in a supportive role, never to agitate or incite, much as I was tempted, but I knew that would only make things worse, and of course I would never do that, until my friend called to tell me he was at the breaking point. No, hello, how are you, how you doing? As soon as I picked up the phone, he was in mid-rant. The man doesn't know anything about dealing with patients. We're not Walmart. I've had it. Yes, and it's about damn time. I was ready to put everything aside, hunker down, and help him game plan a coordinated counterattack. This was going to be good. I started throwing out plot lines like a promoter hyping a heavyweight title fight. The comeuppance. Revenge with benefits. Breaking Brad. I'm not sure what I'll do, he said, interrupting my manic flow, but it's got to be the opposite of what he's expecting. Definitely. I'll write under a pseudonym. You'll see what I can do to him. There was an incredulous pause on the other end. Hamilton? I'm getting killed by this guy and you're quoting Hamilton? Paraphrasing. At the time, I was obsessed with all things Hamilton. When it wasn't playing in my office, it was playing in my car. When it wasn't playing in my car, it was playing in my head. But it was Hamilton offering to slur Jefferson on Washington's behalf, so it wasn't completely irrelevant. But my friend's patience was wearing thin. I'm not looking to embarrass or humiliate him or get revenge. What? My head is spinning with complex revenge scenarios and you don't want to embarrass him? What else is this about but embarrassing and humiliating him? This was, to put it mildly, a surprise. I'm not looking to get even, he explained. I want to beat him, and on his terms. I want him to understand that what he's asking is stupid and in the long run counterproductive, but I will get you the result you want, but I'm going to do it my way. While it was frustrating, his refusal to lower himself to my level of revenge fantasy was, I had to admit, admirable. It was also unsettling what it said about me, apart from my all-consuming obsession with Hamilton at the time. I'm over it, trust me. Well, mostly. My admiration, not to mention my sense of moral inadequacy, proved fleeting when he unceremoniously quit via a conference call 1 month later. He got a marginally better job with a marginally less dysfunctional healthcare company. Good for him, good for me, and it was probably good for Brad too, though I did regret not doing something to unsettle that smug, supercilious SOB. I never even met the guy, and I still bristle when I think about him. Probably because I met quite a few Brads in my day. But if I've gotten over Hamilton, well, mostly, I can get over Brad. Eventually, I hope. All of which leads back to the ancient proverb, the best revenge is getting a better job. On my next pod, I'll discuss my column, Thank You for Your Divided Attention. As a work-at-home veteran, I'm often asked by home office newbies how I avoid all the distractions. I tell them the truth is I don't. I actually welcome the distractions. And once I have your divided attention, I'll explain why. So that slams the lid on another NSFW pod. Thanks for listening. See you soon.
This was the Not Safe for Work podcast, hosted by Charles Epstein, WorkSpans and Hashtag Evolve's NSFW columnist. This podcast was produced by World at Work, a leading global organization for professionals who are engaged in the critically important practice of total rewards.